Kids, you are dismissed for children's church. You may go with Donna. Gone for 1 week and I got to retrain him. Well, we're returning to 2 Corinthians. We had our little diversion from the book in that we focused on Palm Sunday and Easter and the resurrection for a couple of weeks. But now we're going to go back to 2 Corinthians and we're going to go back to chapter 4, verse 1, which is where we left off as we work our way through this book. If you've got your Bibles, I please ask that you pull them out. And I encourage you to jot notes, make marks in there to, if there's something that really touches you, something there you say, hold it, Pastor, I think you're off base. You got to have the Word in front of you if you're going to know that. So I encourage you, even though we throw it up on the screen here, I want you to bring in your own Bibles with you. Okay, on the screen, please. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus. For Jesus' sake, for God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shed in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We are carrying around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that we don't have to wonder what you would have us to know, for you have revealed it in your word. Lord, we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to open our hearts and our minds to your revealed word. That as we read it and hear it, as it comes in our ears and through our minds, might it be lived out in our hands and our lives. Lord, might we hear your truth, and might we indeed reject anything which is not of you. Lord, might you show us how we can take your word, your truth revealed, and apply it to our lives this day, and tomorrow, and the next. Lord, show us how we can live as light for you. Lord, I pray for your anointing to be upon me as I come and preach this morning, that your people here would be encouraged and blessed, or that you would use me for ministering to your people. But Lord, that your name would be the one lifted up and glorified and your people encouraged. Lord, we pray these things through the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, time and again, we run into this phrase in Scripture, therefore. And you have to ask the question again and again, what is it there for? To do that, you got to look back a little bit. And it's been a couple of weeks since we read it, so we're going to go back and we're going to read just a couple of verses back. And this is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting with the 15th verse. I'm just going to go back that far. It says, even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Amen. That is the preface for the therefore. Because people are veiled. They don't understand the Word of God. But that veil is taken away when they come to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. It says, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And we're told that we reflect the Lord's glory. And we're being transformed into His likeness. And we look at this passage that we read today. And we see that, you know, while we're reflecting the Lord's likeness and His glory, Paul is pointing out that it's very important that we not grab any of it. Because that indeed was Satan's sin. He tried to grab that glory. Deceive people into worshiping him. He wanted to be the object of worship. You know, he wanted the one who received the praise. You know, if I'm doing something good in my life, well, it's really not me doing it, but God working within me. Paul's talking here about, he's preaching the gospel, and he's presenting Jesus as the Lord and Savior. He's not using deceit. He's not using false pretenses. He is not trying to trick somebody. You can't trick somebody into receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's one of the things which the church is accused of in many places who really don't understand what Christianity teaches. In the Hindu world, in the Buddhist world, the Muslim world, we're thought that we're going to trick somebody or con somebody into becoming a Christian. Well, people, you just can't do it. It can't be done. Because if I don't tell you the truth about Jesus, then you can't receive it. We have to know the truth. It has to be revealed. And Paul is making a great point that he is striving very carefully to make sure that there is no deception, no distortion that the gospel of the gospel. But that it's not understood, not because he's not presenting it right, but because the people of the world, they can't see it. They can't understand it. Because the God of this age, Satan, the enemy, is causing their eyes to be veiled. They can't see it. It's very hard to identify the truth if you can't see it. It can be done. It does happen. But it's much more difficult. But we're told that if we receive Jesus, that blindness is taken away. But we can't hear the gospel unless we can't see it because we've got the God of this age blinding us. How does this work? What's happened? Well, if you have a veil and you want to see through that veil, how do you do it? Ever stand in front of a shear? You know, this was a problem that I had to figure out. You know, at my house, you know, Donna's going to kill me here, but I do this all the time. It's called too much information, but sometimes I'm not dressed appropriate for public viewing when I'm walking around my home, and you might be dressed that same manner. And we've got these drapes, shears, over our windows, and I assume since I'm in the house that you can't see me. However, I can see out through them. Now, if I can see out, they can see in. Sometimes, if there's light on the inside, you can see through. If there's light on both sides, you can see through. If there's light on the inside, you can, whatever's inside can see. If there's light on the inside, whatever's outside in the dark can see what's in the light. If what is in the dark, if what's inside is dark, you can't see it. This is why women wear veils in the Muslim world. There's no light back here, so you can't see their face. Now, if they took a flashlight and put it under their veil and shined it, you would be able to see, though distorted, their face. Now, again, my problem is I had to learn that, oh yeah, there's light on here. No, I shouldn't be in front of these shears because I can be seen. The truth can be seen if the light is turned up. The light is the Lord working in our lives. It's Him shining in our lives. It's His glory being reflected in our lives. The more His glory is reflected in our lives, the more people who are even being veiled by the enemy can see the truth of that glory. Now, lest we try to take God's glory, so that the world is not confused as to where the source of this glory is coming from, this light that's animating, coming from us. This light that's coming from us be ours, that we are somehow generating it. God has placed that light in us, clay vessels, imperfect vessels. Ever use a clay pot? An unfired clay pot is fine for putting plants in. Why? Because it leaks. Water comes in. Now, it doesn't leak quickly, but the water will go through it. Clay, water will slowly go through clay. Very slowly. But it does. It'll absorb it. It'll become part of it. If I fill this with water, this pot will become saturated eventually with water. Becomes part of it. That's us. God talks about filling clay vessels. That's us. So that He permeates the entirety of it. But the vessel itself is unfinished. It hasn't been fired. It bears the fingerprints of its maker. If you've ever taken a clay pot and checked, you know that those fingerprints are there lightly, unless they're brushed off. But the fingerprints are there, and they're imperfect. This one's got little tiny cracks in it and things. It's just not perfect. And this is what we're described as clay pots. I got another illustration about how we're imperfect. And if you could play this video, please don't think Pastor's gone off his rocker till after I explain how this actually ties in.
Hey, fishing last Friday on a lake in Mississippi in the humid summer heat. On a boat with my best friend Cletus, who was sleeping in the back seat. Well, the bikes were slow and we were running low on chips and Gatorade. It'd been a long, hard day. Felt a tug on the line and I didn't pay attention. We were spinning way too fast. Before I knew it, I was staring at a 10-pound shiny bass. When I tried to pull the fish inside, I pulled a muscle in my upper thigh. I was so scared. I threw my rod up in the air.
That song is a Christian parody of a Christian song called Jesus Take the Wheel, which talks about the fact of us giving up and letting Jesus take control. But we all laugh when we see this song because it shows how imperfect the human body is. And these guys are not perfect, as specimens of perfection. And, guy's talking about he's fishing, and then pulls a muscle in his upper thigh. Ah, I thought it was hilarious. Obviously, you don't. But the point is that this song we laugh at, and we don't say, "Well, God, they're taking God's glory." No, because we recognize how frail the vessel is, that it is indeed a clay pot. Jars of clay. Our bodies, our lives are like that. But yet they do kind of show, brotherly help here, one helping the other in their time of need. Granted, it's hokey. But this morning I woke up and, for some odd reason, this song and that video is running through my head saying, this just shows how imperfect we are. And Bruce, it's going to show you just how imperfect your sermon preparation is. And we just are not perfect. And God takes and puts His perfection in these imperfect clay pots. Okay? God shines out through us. He speaks of our hearts being dark, the same darkness of creation. Yeah. No, of course I wanted it in a camp. Okay. For God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. This is a quote from Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. We're talking about the darkness of creation. Before God created the light out of the darkness so that it might shine. And in the darkness of our hearts, this shows you just how lost we are. But if we take that darkness and we shine the light in that dark place, even if there's a veil in front of it, you'll be able to see the light through it. It's revealed through the light of the Lord in our dark lives, in our dark hearts. Now, there are some people who've taken this passage where it talks about, where Paul is talking about how that the death of Christ is working in him. See, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. There are some people who take that verse right there, verse 10 is, they've taken the same. Well, maybe Paul had stigmata. You know, maybe that's what it is. He's carrying around the death of Christ on his body so that others would be. I don't think that's what that's saying. I think that is somebody taking this and going, running off to saying something that the Scripture doesn't say, doesn't teach at all. We need to be careful when we look at Scripture and read what it says. And what it's talking about here is that this broken, frail, imperfect clay jar, okay, it doesn't say it's broken, but it says, you know, it's us, so we know it is. At least my pot's broken. Of my life. But that we always carry around the death so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body, in our lives. It's talking about how it's through the imperfection of our lives, when Christ is living and working within us, that through that very darkness of the imperfection and the death, that then the light shines that much brighter. If I took a flashlight and I turned it on up here right now, and I'm sorry I forgot to bring my flashlight. I was going to do that too. I was going to have all sorts of stuff today. But push the flashlight. It's daylight out. The lights are on in here. You guys wouldn't notice much of the flashlight unless I maybe pointed it directly at you and it was a really bright flashlight. Then you might go, oh, okay. But even if it was a poor flashlight and it was dark outside and it was dark in here and I turned on the flashlight and I held it up underneath my face, you would see my face. Wouldn't light up the whole room. But the brighter the light source, the more it would light up, wouldn't it? Isn't that the way it works? Well, the light source in our lives is Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit living within us, transforming us, conforming us more into His images, so that we are indeed reflecting the glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Verse 11 says, "For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life may be revealed in our mortal body." We're being given over to death for Jesus' sake is a hard phrase. You mean I'm suffering so that Jesus can look good? Is that what I'm telling you? You could take it that way. But it's not that. I'm suffering and going through difficulties in life because I live in a sinful and broken, fallen world. But God has used even that which the enemy meant for harm, for good. And He's taken even that. And in that darkness, when we live our lives according to His glory, It shines out. This was indeed the testimony of Emmett. At the funeral, I was able to preach last week. Emmett's life was one which shined the glory of God. His daughters stood up here and said the harshest thing they ever heard him say was, "I was sorely aggravated." Please. Makes me feel about that big as far as my Christian walk goes. Did Emmett go through an easy life? Was everything perfect? Everything go well? Absolutely not. His father died when he was like 9. At 10 years old, he ended up be given away by his mother to be adopted because she couldn't take care of all the kids. And that was just in early life. He went through many difficulties. But yet, the Holy Spirit shone brightly in his life. And when I go through difficulties, and when you go through difficulties, when each of us goes through difficulties, and we allow the Holy Spirit to be present in us, the glory of God shines out and is reflected, and people see this for the glory of God. So we have these clay pots so that we can't claim the perfection of God. And people say, I mean, nobody's going to be confused when they look at me and see that I'm at peace in the midst of trouble, that somehow I'm better than them. They're going to say, how did you get that and where do I get some? Because they know it had to come from somewhere other than within me, from in and of me. It had to come from somewhere else, and it does. It comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from Jesus Christ living and residing within my life. And He does that within you too. And this is the way we're supposed to live our lives, reflecting the light of the glory of God, who is Jesus Christ, in our lives, that is, our clay pots, which are dark. We live in sinful lives, but when we let God shine out through that darkness, even though those around us are veiled by the enemy, they're still going to be able to see the glory of God and see a little bit of the gospel and be drawn to it so enough so that they can recognize it as the gospel, receive it, and have the veil torn away. People, this is one of the reasons why God has given us the job of taking the gospel to the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that in our imperfect lives, You work within us. That life itself is at work in us. That You, Lord, in creation, spoke life into us. You breathed it in. Made us eternal beings. Created for the purpose of fellowshipping and being with You for eternity. And Lord, we pray now that as we seek to overcome sin through the work You did on the cross, that we allow You to work within us and make our lives shine the reflection of Your glory so that those around us can say, where did You get that and how do I get some? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.